Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Back at it again, the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast. Mike Golic Jr., Chinua Ogwumike, Major League Baseball playoffs again got us off the radio. So, Chinua, again, we find our way back to here. And you and I both agree, like, there is something liberating. I can see why, like, Jalen Jacoby and Michael and Jamel for so long lived like this in the podcast world. It is nice over here.
It's a free world. It really is nice. We can do whatever we want, okay? No referees. But speaking of the MLB postseason, did you see Cody Bellinger's catch? That was nice.
Woo! Oh, my God.
And you know what makes it better? When it's on, like, another star, Fernando Tatis Jr. So, yeah. And then did you see the beef that happened? I just love the idea that now all sports are sort of embracing, allowing the athletes to be themselves and wear chains. Because when I'm watching these baseball games and I see the bling bouncing around and they're jawing off, I'm like, okay.
There is, like, a direct correlation between people having fun and getting after each other and the amount of chains being worn on the field at any given time. Like, I've looked at it, and I've never been a person, Chinua, with nearly enough swag to pull off wearing a chain and being taken seriously. And I've seen enough of them out there where I'm like, do I need to do this? Is that too midlife crisis-y? Like, where are we at?
We're still straight out of locker rooms, and I think you could definitely rock a chain. I would just say probably not as much bling. Like, you want to be subtle with it.
I can't afford as much bling. I want to be abundantly clear. Like, me and these guys are making very different salaries, so that's probably going to work out naturally.
Yeah, probably.
Do you ever rock any jewelry like that? Like, are you a big ring person? What do you go with here?
I really am low-key because I'm super lazy when it comes to my jewelry. Like, I want to just be able to shower in it and then go on TV with it and then move around, you know? So I'm low-key, but I have been eyeing some bling lately. But it's always better when someone else gets it for you, so.
Chinua has gone on one date and is already dropping hints right now. I hope old boy is listening to this podcast and understanding that he already Chinua made sure to cover her tracks. She's like, you don't listen to the show, the podcast, because we are talking about you.
Well, actually, I should tell him to listen just so he knows what he's working with. But and also, we need to make sure everyone's, you know, shout out to Jamel Hill, who called the old boy. This, I think we're calling it my man's, your man's, like my man's. I'm going to make sure my man's, because we need these ratings. And if we have one crazy review, we know exactly who my man's is, because he's probably going to be wilding on there.
That is true. Make sure he uses a fake name when he's in the comment section wilding out here. And speaking of that, there's something I want to get to.
His name is going to be Tuna Tartar.
at Tuna Tartar 24. Coming through, and you'll at least make it a 5-star rating. We need that. You can say whatever wild stuff you want, but just know Chinua is going to drop you all of the hints in here on how you need to be living if you're trying to win her heart.
Also, like, that's one end of the spectrum. I love all kinds of energies. One of my other favorite things that I've seen, I don't know if you've seen Dogface, that video on social media of him cruising, listening to Fleetwood Mac with the ocean spray. I watched that video about 50 times.
It's incredible, and all of the spinoffs from that. Shout out to Trey Wingo, used to do the morning show with. He did one out on the golf, like his natural habitat out on the golf course. I have never seen that man freer in his life. He is so liberated out there, just enjoying Fleetwood Mac and some cranberry
juice. Oh my gosh, I have an idea for Too Damn Friday. Too Damn Friday, we should use the song Dreams and just bring our own juice and cruise. Or maybe, no, is that... Is that a hijack? Maybe we should do it as another thing. Maybe we'll do that in addition.
You know what? I like that. We're going to find a way to work it in. And we might actually have a show tomorrow. That's, you know, pretty exciting. So depending on some things work out. And if not, we will find a way to bring it directly to the internet. Because Too Damn Friday doesn't take days off, even if our radio show takes days off. So we're going to – I like that. We're going to – because that is – it is like the perfect relaxed Friday alternative, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. You know, we all kind of needed that, too. In a world where a fly was winning political debates last night, we needed that cranberry.
I was going to say that. That was hilarious. Staying up and watching it, and, like, this is the first time I didn't get a headache watching the news or the debate. And then when that twist happened, I was laughing. I was like, this is so 2020.
I can say, for anyone that missed the vice presidential debate last night, Kamala Harris and Mike Pence.
I'm speaking. That's me.
Over and over again on a loop until we die. That was maddening in so many ways. But thankfully, we got the bit of comic relief we needed when a fly, I think it was 2 minutes of real time, landed in Mike Pence's hair. Breathtaking, yeah. Has its own Twitter account. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was wild. But, you know, it felt better, right? It felt better. It seemed like we were watching conversations that happen. And, you know, yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
We had a low bar to clear after the first one. So moving on. Like we said, you know what? We'll get back to, there's one more internet thing I want to get to you with in a little bit. Quavo went DM sliding in an interesting way that I want us to try before this podcast is all said and done and see if we can. Actually, you know what? Let's do it right now. We'll send it right now, and that way we can see if we can get reactions. So before we get to what's going on with the Tennessee Titans, more positive COVID cases, NBA beefs continuing to work their way into analysis in the year of our Lord 2020, which always brings joy to my heart and one of our colleagues' hearts in a way that will make a lot of sense just here in a few minutes. Quavo tweeted out a DM of him this is the whitest I'm going to sound in a long time. Is it pronounced Saweetie? Is it just Sweetie?
I think it's Sweetie. Honestly, I wish I knew, but like, I just go Saweetie.
All right. Well, either way, Quavo tweeted out a screenshot of his DM exchange with Saweetie when he pulled, it's, you know, the where I was versus where I'm going meme that's going on. His was how I pulled up. How we coming, and how he pulled up was all he sent to her, Chinee, in the DMs, was a snowflake emoji. All he sent. She responded with noodles emoji, and then he said, you so icy, I'm a glacier boy. I have no idea what that means, but then she responded, what's happening then? And so then away we go, and then there was a picture of them on a date. So I need you to pick someone, DM them just a snowflake, and then if they respond, you have to respond with, you so icy, I'm a glacier boy. And I hope that's nothing inappropriate because I've said it now twice without knowing what it means. I'm a little terrified, but we've got to do this for science.
But like okay. So are you doing it too?
Yes, I'm doing it right now.
Okay, I'm sending, I guess, a snowflake. This is wild.
I want to try this out I don't even know where the snowflake is.
I'm so curious who you're sending.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, my God.
All right, there we go. So now we've got it sent out, and we'll see how that plays out through the rest of the podcast.
Now, be left on red. It's okay.
God, you know what? Wouldn't be the first time.
I actually sent it out to 3 people. Might as well up my percentage.
Oh, my God. All right, volume shooters here on the podcast right now.
But I am abusive.
Flip the math. Let's go. That's how we win in 2020.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Speaking of not winning in 2020, let's get into the Tennessee Titans a little bit here today, because we've had what we talked about a little bit yesterday, the ongoing drama with the Tennessee Titans, now up over 20 positive cases of the COVID-19 on their team, a lot in jeopardy going forward about what might happen. And there were the pictures that were brought up in an NFL meeting, according to a lot of the reporting done by our own Dan Graziano, showing the Titans working out at a high school field after all this. And it was reported that the Tennessee Titans were informed on September 29th that in-person gatherings had been banned because of the organization's ongoing corona outbreak, a league source told Dan Graziano, meaning that those players' informal workouts were unauthorized and a violation of the NFL's virus-related protocols. So, Chinee, I ask you, when you hear this, because your league, the WNBA, just got finished going through all this and didn't have any of these hiccups and didn't have to deal with any of this inside of the bubble, do we think we should be dealing with a pretty severe punishment for a team that seems to have not been wearing masks before all this and now went out and disregarded the league's rules having these workouts?
See, it just seems unfair, because what we're hearing now are a couple of concepts being tossed around in response to what's happening in Tennessee. And so one of them is, in a league memo this week, the word forfeiture came up. And I think a lot of people have opinions on whether the Titans should forfeit based on their reckless actions when it came to abiding or not abiding by the COVID protocols that the NFL set out, which many teams are doing. So much so that we joked on our top five? What we got? Top five, bottom five? Yep. On our top five, bottom five, that, you know, coaches are getting heavy fines for not wearing masks. It applies to everyone that's making decisions or at least doing something when it comes to them preparing to compete and actually competing. So hearing the word forfeiture comes up makes sense to the sentiments of, you know, the reckless nature in which you know, they chose to be a little bit more flexible on their, you know, their choices during this time. And on the other side, what I heard, and this was listening to Adam Schefter, was that there could be a chance where maybe the playoffs are determined not necessarily by the number of wins like we've always seen in the history of the NFL, but on win percentage. And so I think I see two sides of the spectrum. One in which maybe it's based on win percentage, based on, you know, what we're seeing happening in real time with the Titans, but that sort of works to their favor, right? Versus forfeiture, which works to the field's favor, because there have been teams that have truly been abiding by what the protocols are. Look no further. Well, I don't know if this is a great example based on the history, but the Patriots, they're looking into, you know, having a situation where they play without their quarterback. They've been doing workouts virtually even while they're trying to figure things out. And then they're still likely to play. Meanwhile, the Titans are sort of dealing with postponement and then possibly like maybe this being something that is not as severe, you know, just compared to how many people actually tested positive. So a lot of things swirling. And I don't know where the middle line is, honestly.
Yeah, and this is the thing. You mentioned fair, and we always knew. We heard Mike Tomlin say this. There wasn't necessarily going to be fair. People were going to have to make concessions. But with one team so overwhelmingly the source of a lot of this, and you mentioned, yeah, if they had to forfeit, it would be a win for this week, the Buffalo Bills, in a very tightly packed top of the AFC. That being said, what happens going forward now? They already had the game postponed, so now the Steelers are inconvenienced in a different way. And the ripple effects there and the ancillary damage to these other teams versus it being a lot more direct. Like in this instance, you want to punish the offenders, and that's the Tennessee Titans. And I think the forfeiture, I saw Torrey Smith, former NFL wide receiver, tweeted, the Titans should have to take a loss and play next week because of their irresponsible actions. Our own Ed Werder quote tweeted and said a lot of this sentiment around the league. And Chris Mortensen put this out, which is, again, worth noting, because what have we talked about? A lot of this comes back to money. He said, then Bills players would not be paid a game check under the revised COVID-19 terms. It's a hot-button topic players are discussing among each other. Roster sizes, game day activities, IR modifications, and COVID-19 designations were among conditions put into place to avoid this scenario. So they tried to create every buffer possible for this, but it seems in this case that one team has been so overwhelmingly irresponsible with the way they've gone about this that I don't know if there's a lot of other choice that's not the least fair to the other teams involved in this.
Wait, hold up, though. I need you to clarify real quick. So if there is a forfeiture, the Bills would get the win, but they wouldn't get the paycheck.
Yes.
See, that to me is a little suspect. Because they did everything right. They were ready. I would go, if it was me and I'm on the Bills, I'm going out to the field without the opponent and I'm doing my routes and we're going to have a practice scrimmage amongst ourselves and I'm going to say, run me my money, because that's not fair. And in the words of our producer, Shannon, that's hustling backwards. Like,
yes,
you were ready to compete and someone else made a mistake and now you are held financially after making the risk to go and play this season. You are being held financially for that. Like, that is not cool. On top of it, you know that they are finding guys who have missed tests and they're trying to create those, I guess you can say disincentives, right? For those guys that do act up. And so on one end, you're cool with finding them for acting up, but you're not cool with rewarding the ones that actually acted right.
Well, but I guess here's the thing is eventually, and this is one of the difficulties, the NFL didn't build in a lot of buffer room. In all of this, we saw some college football conferences build in extra open dates for things like this that popped up. And we know the Steelers are already going without a bye week for like 13 weeks towards the end of this season. Now, eventually you're going to run out of real estate. And if this happens more than once, unless you're willing to push back the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you're not going to have many other options other than to do this. I'm just amazed that what we just brought up is true, that the team that has no part in this, the Buffalo Bills, would be penalized in that way. So I don't know if there's a way. Again, as everything can kind of be revised, and we've seen the NFL change a lot of this stuff, that's one thing that's got to be addressed is if you're the party that didn't have any role in this, that didn't have this outbreak that caused all of this, I can't imagine punishing them right now as the league sits in this situation that they couldn't have totally predicted how anything was going to shake out. I can't imagine that's still something they want to be a part of.
Today at Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, Junior, staying in the bag of spirited exchanges, you see what happened to my hometown and what came out regarding the Houston Texans, who we all know that Bill O'Brien, former head coach and GM, has parted ways with my hometown team. But figuring out how it got there, you know, hearing that, you know, Texans star J.J. Watt during a recent practice, which led into, I believe, the decision in which, oh, if J.J. Watt's mad, like, this is something that is past the point of return. There's an incident in which he had a spirited exchange with Bill O'Brien. And what have you heard, and what's your take on that? Because I feel like that had to be at least the final straw.
Yeah, now J.J. Watt added publicly, you know, he said, I'm not going to get into what happened in practice. The situation is what the situation is, and we have a fresh start right now. The one thing I'll say for Coach O'Brien is he always stood up for his players. Certainly he tried to do whatever possible to support his players. Him and Deshaun Watson did what you expected two guys that are like face of the league guys to do, which is high road this publicly. But I have no doubt that there was probably frustration behind the scenes. They're 0-4. Like, no one's in a good situation when they're 0-4. And so I think someone with J.J. Watt's clout in this league, if he did spoke up, you can understand it, because this isn't college football. This is pro sports, where you're on equal playing field and half the time further up on the food chain than your coaches. So I wouldn't be shocked if any of this happened. I wouldn't be shocked if there was immense frustration, because, hell, like, Chinee, you know this. You're a current player now. You see roster moves get made and go, what the hell are we doing sometimes? Like, I'm sure they all watch.
But to the magnitude of DeAndre Hopkins now, I would have something to say.
And you know what? I'm sure it was hard for a lot of these guys to bite their tongue. And so now you get to a situation where that happens and you're not getting any of the results on the field that you need. Yeah, everyone as a player's got to wear that, because it ultimately is a player's game. But I would not be surprised at all on this. I can't imagine you are either.
Yeah. Well, before we go from, like, you know, the bottom of the barrel where, you know, teams are winless, like my Houston Texans, to a team that is one win away from winning an NBA championship, I want to get your quick take on Thursday Night Football tonight. Between obviously the Bucks and the Bears, what are you thinking going in? Because flying under the radar, everyone wants to tweet about Tom Brady's interceptions, but he also threw 5 touchdowns versus the Chargers to 5 different receivers. And then Nick Foles, you know, he finally gets the starting job, but then they stumble versus the Colts. So what's your take on Thursday night?
Yeah, the Bears like have to be historically one of the worst 3-1 football teams to ever grace the NFL. Like, making a quarterback change midway through this and somehow surviving that to be 3-1 is a testament to how close the talent in this league is. The Bears are going to lose. The Bucs are really good, and so is Tom Brady. Like, they're going to stop throwing that deep out across the field that he does not have in his bag anymore, that's going to keep getting picked if they throw it. Because besides that, this is going exactly how we expected it to go in this situation. His offensive line and his rookie tackle, Tristan Wirfs, is balling out right now. And he's got better weapons than he's had in a while, and it's starting to show. So I have no worries about that.
Well, hold up. Today, coming in with the injury report, though, I'm doing my best to find a bell. Mike Evans, you know, ankle, we're not sure about his status. Chris Godwin is obviously out. Scotty Miller, his hip is bothering him. You know, Leonard Fournette ruled out as well, obviously. LeSean McCoy, are you worried about the guys? Because this is the same narrative we heard in New England. Not enough weapons out there to get the job done, and now it seems like they're hurting right now in Tampa.
If he's still well protected, I think Ronald Jones has showed really well for them in that backfield. They had a deep group there, and Ronald is, you know, the holdover that was actually there prior to this regime. He was the guy coming into this outside of Shady and Leonard Fournette, who came over during this offseason process. But I'm not incredibly worried. The Bears defense, still really solid parts across the board. Watching Akeem Hicks battle with Ryan Jansen in the middle of that line is going to be a lot of fun. But I just think the Bears offensively, you want to talk about, there's talent there, but I don't think it's yet in a position to be unlocked. I think their offensive line, the Bears, going to get tested in a real way against the Tampa defense that's still one of the best and fastest in the NFL. We talked to Antoine Winfield Jr. not too long ago. So, no, I don't worry too much about this one for them. Short week, right to rest a lot of your important guys coming on this short week, and get right going forward.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks as well. They're going to be the team 4-1 and probably on the other side 3-2.
Yeah, probably looking that way. So shout out to that Thursday Night Football. Shout out to Thursday Night Football on the college side. Everyone check out Houston and Tulane, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. Before that, your boy Bob Wischusen going to be on the call. Chris Budden on the sideline with us.
Give me 30 to 45 to a minute of what you got going for us to care about this matchup.
This is Houston's first game of the season, Chinee. You talk about H-Town all day. Houston has had the nightmare 2020 season, and through no fault of their own, they have had 5 games now going back to this summer postponed, teams they were originally supposed to play, like Washington State, who were obviously taken off when the Pac-12 shut down play, then went conference only. But Baylor, who was scheduled a week in advance and then canceled 22 hours before that game was supposed to take place. There has been nothing but heartbreak for this Houston team trying to get going in this 2020 season. And now they're going to have a chance to do it finally Thursday night against the Tulane team that came back down 21 and beat Houston last year in the last time we saw De'Aaron King in a Houston Cougars uniform last year. This was the game in 2019 that was his last game before he started that red shirt that Dana Holgorsen did with a lot of Houston players before De'Aaron ultimately, you know, it's actually, it was a big effect on college football because that ultimately led to De'Aaron King now going to Miami, who's got a big time top 10 matchup against Clemson this weekend. So very cool storylines going into this one. Very excited.
I'm so excited to watch and cheer and have you drop as many Houston references and as many hero can be a sandwich references as well. Most importantly, what shoes are you wearing? What shoes are you rocking this time?
I went with the Sakai waffles for this one.
You are pretty flexible because right now Junior is holding his foot up to the camera while sitting down. That's a little scary.
I'm glad I didn't like tear my jeans. I'm usually good to rip jeans about once a quarter. So that's also what I get for wearing jeans in this situation. So everyone check that out.
Today in Golic Jr., the podcast.
We have been working our way up from the bottom of what's gone on with the Houston Texans, now all the way up top to the Lakers in a position to finish and culminate the Lakers in five prediction. And it was interesting because we heard from a legend as we start thinking about the what ifs. What if the Lakers pull this off? What if LeBron James notches another finals MVP? And Isaiah Thomas came out of the woodwork, baby, to say that if LeBron pulls this off, he is the GOAT. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. How amazed are you, Chinee, at the ability of pettiness of one person to last for so, so long in all of this?
So, yeah, I mean, our producer Shannon put it best. Like, what is the statute of limitations on a beef? Because right now, between Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan, it's 35 years and running. And so, you know, when I first heard this, I was like, oh, wow, like, he's willing to put himself out there. And then I was like, oh, I get what he's doing. He's ready to put anybody in front of MJ. So I think this is a huge championship for LeBron James because obviously when people want to discredit LeBron James's career, they go to his record in the finals and they talk about, they compare it to Michael Jordan's record in the finals. So for him to win another championship, that ups his percentage. That'd be four. To do it on three different teams, as much as you talk about Michael Jordan's, you know, loyalty, it's, I wouldn't say just as hard, but it's hard to try to do that in three different environments with three different supporting cast that you know what I mean? You had to build from scratch. And so I would say that this championship means that they didn't fold. Like being a top team with a lot of top, you know, competition in their city alone between the Clippers with the Milwaukee Bucks and then in the middle of the pandemic and the issues with social justice and to deliver a championship this fashion, like everyone's saying, this is the season we will all remember. This is the season we will never forget based on the climate and all the things we're dealing with. And so for LeBron James to be a champion in this season out of all of them, that's going to be a huge opening header for his case for greatest of all time. But I mean, it's just as hard to say that he actually is, because if you compare what they've done it in different ways. Like Michael Jordan as a competitor and a winner and doing that all for Chicago, like that is, like we all came to love that to a different degree watching The Last Dance. Seeing LeBron James, this is the guy that we grew up with. It was Kobe and then LeBron. This is our generation's, you know, Jordan. And so for us to see him do it in the era of social media and then also, you know, create social impact while playing at a high level and pursuing championships, that weighs on us differently as well. But one thing that I also bring to the forefront is, like, while we're hearing that in real time, we're also seeing Michael Jordan drop $100 million for causes that matter to us in society. We're seeing him step up to the plate. So it's sort of like it still feels like they're still going toe-to-toe, even though Michael Jordan is years retired and LeBron James is still playing. So this definitely adds significant weight to LeBron James's case. But the thing is, he's 35. He still looks unstoppable. And if he's able to run this back once, twice, three times, like the Lakers love that type of Showtime dynasty dominance, like that. The thing is, his case is still being written, which sort of blows my mind.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And by the way, it's worth noting that Michael Jordan in the Last Dance documentary probably started it this summer with Isaiah. Like, it feels like, I mean, it just, you know, it was hitting the nerve again this summer when all that came up and Isaiah had to re-answer those questions. So
you're right.
It feels like we got back. Now, certainly, like, both of those guys, there's plenty of that going around there, but I digress. To the point about LeBron, I think it's interesting to just continue to think about how different LeBron, like, it almost seems intentional that in his quest to go at Jordan, he did it in such a completely different way from Michael. But the reason this can be so compelling, as you mentioned, the Kobe Bryant era Lakers were a long time ago at this point, and they have been an abject disaster since then. It has been a wasteland. And so now to come here and in a year's time, basically revamp this team. And I understand people are going to try and say, well, you had to bring Anthony Davis over to do it. Man, AD was on a team with Jrue Holiday in New Orleans for a while, and they weren't able to do much of bleep. I get the Warriors were doing their thing there then, but let's be clear. Anthony Davis, as good as he is, and as much as I believe he's got a legitimate chance if he plays well enough tonight to hoist Finals MVP, he's not here without LeBron. Like, LeBron drives the car and just invites everyone to hop on.
Oh, absolutely. Which brings a question to this. Like, in the state of the modern NBA, you have to have more than one superstar to win. You can't do it with one superstar. Everyone's tag teaming. This is why we talk about the banana boat. This is why we call, like, the super teams and that type of stuff. This is what Stephen A. said, and I think it's really interesting.
Errors matter. And what I find most egregious, most blasphemous about Isaiah Thomas's statement is that he ignores the era he was playing in, as far as I'm concerned. It was very physical. It was very volatile. It was an era made for the Kendrick Perkins of the world, for crying out loud. I'm talking about banging bodies, Jordan rules, people getting assaulted and only getting caught for a foul, you know, having a foul called against the person that assaulted them, as opposed to today where you could get ejected for having bad breath. And LeBron James at 6'9", 260 pounds, is playing in the softest era we have ever seen in NBA basketball. The fact that Isaiah Thomas ignores that is beyond me.
Okay, so after hearing that, it's funny because you hear that argument, and yes, LeBron James is playing in an era where, you know, you talked about it. The reason why the point scoring is going up in the NFL is because they're getting rid of as many holding calls, right? Well, a couple of years ago, we started having this hot stove rule where you can't touch someone free moving with the basketball. Like, you can't bump, check, and all that type of stuff. We call it the hot stove rule, where you're allowed to touch the defender once, like you touch a hot stove to see if it's hot, and you can't touch them again unless you're vertical, right? So we're now in this era where that's why the explosion of point scoring is happening. Every NBA score is over 100 points. Like, people are hitting 130 and we're not even blinking anymore, which blows my mind on one level. But you think about the softness that he's talking about, LeBron James era operating in this era. LeBron would have been just fine back in, you know, the 80s and the 90s. He's built for that too.
I was going to say, the most impressive thing LeBron does is work through contact. It's amazing. Like, you can have criticisms of some parts of LeBron James' game still if you want, but one of them is not his ability to absorb and play through contact.
Yeah. So it's funny because when we talk about, like, okay, would Michael Jordan succeed in this era? Like, that, I feel like the case works a little bit better for LeBron James to succeed in that era versus Jordan in this, just because of the way LeBron is built. He's one of a kind, once in a generation. But look, I always say this is the best thing about us being youngins. Like, we millennials, so we just tell our purview as we've seen with Kobe and LeBron, and we let the OGs have their beefs when it comes to Michael Jordan. And by the way, like, how long do you hold on to a beef? Because for me, I keep notes. I keep receipts. I'll keep it cordial. Oh, you'll never know. But I still know. I have my notes filed in the back of my head.
That is terrible. You don't actually have it written down. This is just like mental notes, right? Or do you have like
a list? Mental notes. But like, the thing is, I sort of have like a visual memory. So like, I'll remember exactly what you said, how you said it, and how it made me feel, as in a movie in my head.
Wow. That is, you know what? I'm not going to lie. That's kind of terrifying, because I am like, you know what, Chinee, you are very similar to like my mom and my brother. Like, they are ones like, if you cross them, now they're a little more severe. If you cross them, like, it's a wrap. Like, there's no more being cordial about it. They are done with your ass. Like, that is it. That is all with them. For me, like, I you know, and I'm sure you're like this way too. I'm much more cognizant of how you treat, like, the people I care about. Like, When I'm watching someone interact with my mom or sister for the first time, that's when I'm taking notes. Because I don't give a damn how you treat me. I need to see how you're going to treat everybody else when I'm watching you and you don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little bit of both. Absolutely. I'm like the sister that's willing to, like, pull up. You saw me in that video.
I'm going to say. You have the receipts. But to answer your question, I don't keep a list on this. No, I mean, like, should I start? Like,
No, I don't keep a list. But I think I watch how people move. Because, like, I will never, ever let someone feel like they're, you know, I'm angry at them or anything. But I'll just be like, okay, now I know how to move accordingly because I see how you're behaving. And yes. So I think it's way more classy version of the old school beefs, right? But I think, you know, we are all still taking notes, though.
We are absolutely still taking notes. And I think no one more so, and no one should be happier about all of this development than our very own Paul Pierce. Because Lord knows that man wears his beef with LeBron James like a badge of honor. And he has now just been given free reign to keep extending this out for years. Because they got a long way to go to get to anything resembling Jordan and Isaiah. So that's good news for Paul.
Don't worry. They're both in L.A. They're going to want to see each other, hang out at each other's house, drink wine. And then he'll be going back to saying whatever he wants on air. But they'll be hanging out behind the scenes. Let me not spill the tea on everybody.
You can say, see the IG post at Nobu in Malibu with the two of them coming up soon.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, speaking of Instagram, let's bring it full circle. Did you get responses to our DM quest?
Would you hate me if I never responded? I never did it. I lied.
What?
I'm a good liar, aren't I?
What in the hell? So I was out here just solo YOLO on this, risking my life in the DMs for okay. content, and you didn't even just lie about one, you said three.
Okay, first of all, calm down. I was telling the truth, I just didn't tell the truth to the timeline. So I'm going to do it, but your girl's gotta be calculated. I'm gonna send three, I might send five, I might send 10, you never know. But I have to just, like, you put me on the spot, and I don't wanna just go with the first thing that comes to my mind, because, like, that may not be the best move. So your girl, when she shoots, she makes sure she hits a jab step, a crossover, pump fake, and then the basket is clear. So I've had some time to think, and I have a list formulated, and I will do it. I promise. I'm going to do it right when the show ends. You know, like, you must have somebody on your mind clearly. Clear.
I just, like, I knew I had a place I could go. It was someone who I was talking to earlier today, so I knew I would get a response in enough time back on all of this. And, of course, this one clanked out of the rim completely.
Okay, wait, but it's someone you're talking to already today? No. You got to go. I need you to go, like, somewhere out and beyond.
Okay, so we got to go fully random?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think you should do someone in the circle. Someone you actually want to give a snowflake to. But then also someone, like, out there, like, might as well. That's what I was doing for your birthday.
All right, you know what? There we go. We got homework now. So whether it's tomorrow on the podcast or on the show, I'm expecting an update, all right?
Yes. Would you like to know who I tried to, like, slide in the DMs for your birthday to see if I could get random stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I slid into, who was it? Chris Evans.
Oh, wow. Captain America. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he left me on red. And then I also slid into Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
But don't worry. Next year, I'll have way, way more time.
I can say Chris Evans. Thank God he left you on red. We know he's got way more in the arsenal than that.
You're right. So, you crazy. You're right. You're right. You're right. I should have come with some different energy. I shouldn't have been like, hi. I'm like, hey. I should have hit that emoji. Showed him that emoji.
Got to speak everyone's love language in these situations. So we'll have more updates on that tomorrow. We will see if any of our newest requests at Wild DMs get stopped. Quickly, Janae, before we get going, do we have any energy we want to get out here?
Yes, and this is a very, you know, taking things to a serious note. I want to send all the positive vibes, all the positive energy to one of the vets in the WNBA, someone that has been so positive to me and also, like, a style icon, someone I looked up to, Cappy Pondexter. There have been reports floating around that she's gone missing, and that's really scary, especially now in the time and climate when it comes to health and safety. And so, Chenan Gold Jr., we both send our positive vibes to our sis. If you guys are listening and are engaged within the sports community, just make sure you say a prayer. And also, if you hear anything, like, come back to us and make sure you just, I guess, you know, we're just rooting for her, and I hope everything's fine, but absolutely want to send positive vibes to my big sis out there. We hope everything's fine, and we hope that we find news that you are back home and safe.
Absolutely. All the positive vibes and energy in the world. If anyone's got any information, make sure you share that, because we know how important that is right now. So certainly want to lend our voices to that most importantly. So a good note to end on there. And like you said, we hope good news coming in that situation very, very soon. Be sure to check back in with us tomorrow. We are waiting to find out if we're going to be on radio. If not, we will be back here, where you can always get the Chinay and Golic Jr. podcast. Download, subscribe, rate, review, leave a rating. Even if you're Chinay's man, make sure you use a fake name, leave us 5 stars, and then say whatever wild stuff you got. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.